Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. My boss, which I always remember, Jay Posner, back in San Diego. Jay, we're 3 weeks in, I think. I think on Sunday, I'm saying 3 weeks means that we're almost halfway through and getting closer to, you know, a season that I think that everyone is fairly excited about because, you know, they say there's going to be a change, and I believe that there is a change in expectation, and I look forward to seeing how it plays out. So I wanted to say, you know, look, we still have a lot of things to determine, and I don't know where you would like to start, but any questions on your mind, Jay, that I can answer for you or we can discuss?
Well, I would start with the fact that right now in San Diego, it feels more like Arizona than Arizona probably does, because it's like in the 80s here again, and we need this to stop, and actually, I think it is. But anyway, beyond that, with the Padres, I guess my biggest question right now would have to be, are they ever going to give up a run again? Are we looking at the longest scoreless streak in Cactus League or maybe MLB history? It's been at least two games, right? Since right. Anyone on the other team touched home plate against one of the Padre hurlers, as they say.
Two shutouts in a row. The notable thing about yesterday's, it was Adrian Morejon, 1 1/3 innings against, you know, the top of the lineup, the first, six batters in the Angels lineup, and they were likely the first six batters the Angels will roll out there most nights, so that's good when we're talking Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, even Albert Pujols. So, and I say even Albert Pujols, obviously, because he's like 84 now.
Right, right. You know,
future Hall of Famer, of course.
Yeah, I feel bad for people like just watching Albert Pujols in the last couple of years, like, oh, what's the big deal about Albert Pujols? It's like, oh, if only you knew, if only you had seen him.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure that he was exactly Mike Trout, but you know, close to it in terms of you wanted to see all of his at bats.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then there was, an inning later, Emilio Pagan came in, pitched a perfect third, two strikeouts. I mean, wow. You know, it was dominant stuff. He also got a little help from nice play at third by Greg Garcia. Other than that, seven guys you will not see again. I'm not talking about like that, and I'm exaggerating maybe a little. Who knows what's going to happen? But we are talking about of the, say, 13 guys that right now you would say would circulate through the Padres bullpen this year, none of those guys other than Pagan pitched yesterday.
Okay.
So, no, again, not like you were getting or anyone was getting too excited, but it was like, I'm not sure the Angels.
Right.
So we're really into that game. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you that the guys who are competing, Roberto Reyes, and not obviously Trey Wingenter hasn't been out there yet, but Javi Guerra, they are going to make it tough on the Padres. I'm telling you. Or their Padres are going to be very grateful if they keep pitching like this. And let's say Jose Castillo weren't ready, there was an injury, or the Padres looked to make a trade. The pitching has been very strong. Now, at this point in spring training, the pitching is usually ahead. That's it. Two shutouts in a row. You don't get that very often because it gets a little sloppy late in the spring training games.
Okay, and you mentioned Greg Garcia playing really well at third base yesterday. Obviously, the Padres have a pretty good third baseman, so we're not going to see Greg Garcia at third base much starting on March 26th. But at second base, where do we stand on the second base situation? They've added Brian Dozier. They've got Garcia, who hits right-handed pitching really well. They brought in Profar during the offseason, who hits lefties well, as does Dozier. I mean, there's even other guys that we like Kiros and people like that I guess we aren't going to make the team. But where does second base stand with those three guys, and how you see playing time being divvied up? Maybe it's too soon. Dozier hasn't even played in the field yet, but could we see all three of those guys on the roster come March 26th?
I suppose it's possible, because with the 26th man, if you went with, you know, and again, the math, I'm sorry, we're in the middle of spring training, but it is possible. There's all sorts of combinations, you know, three catchers. Is it six infielders? Is it five outfielders?
I guess it might be tough to have all those guys if you're also going to keep Cronenworth, which it seems like they want to do just because of his versatility and ability to pitch.
It is possible, but I don't think so. And like you said, it is too early. Dozier is expected sometime this weekend to play second base. He is, 33 now? He is even better against lefties than Profar, like far better, at least last year. And that, you know, Dozier isn't what he used to be. But if I had to give you an early indication here, and there's a lot of things that go into me saying this, this sort of educated opinion that I'm going to give here, I'm going Dozier Garcia.
Okay.
And that's it right now. You said, because Profar, struggling with the throws. Last year, not great at the plate in terms of what the Padres are looking for. Primarily, I'm speaking about on-base percentage. And Garcia has earned that spot for primarily his ability to hit against righties. But also, he's, I really believe, has become the kind of player they want to have in this clubhouse. And now, look, if Profar were to outplay him, then, you know, that would be another thing. But I'm saying right now, I believe Greg Garcia is on this roster, and you're looking at Dozier and Profar competing. And just for all the reasons that they went after him, including, guess what? You know where he lives? Next to Bobby Dickerson, the infield coach.
Well, the thing about Garcia is that, you know, you talk about, and this is one of those things that will drive me, and I'm sure other people, I'm not the only one, crazy about spring training. It's kind of like, we know what Greg Garcia is. We've seen Greg Garcia for the last several years, whether it was with the Cardinals or the Padres. He hits right-handed pitching. So unless he's lost it at whatever age he is, which 30 years old, which I wouldn't think is possible. I mean, we saw it with a guy like Chase Headley, who suddenly just, you know, became almost incapable of hitting major league pitching. But he was older than Garcia is. Garcia has shown no signs of that. It's hard for me to imagine Garcia's not on this team.
Right.
And especially, I mean, you really need a guy that can hit right-handed pitching, because that's, you know, more pitchers are right-handed than left-handed. So it really does seem to come down to who's gonna hit lefties. And maybe the spring does matter. And maybe it matters, especially with a guy like Dozier, who is a little older, just to make sure that he's still got it. And, you know, his numbers last year were good. There's no reason to doubt that he wouldn't be able to hit again, but if I was Profar, I would be concerned right now.
Without a doubt. I'm telling you that he should be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of spring left, but there's a reason that Dozier was brought in. And where I was going is, you know, first off, I've been told straight up by a few people that Profar's the one in trouble. But there's just so many signs, including the fact that one of the people that Dozier talked to before he came here was Bobby Dickerson, who they, you know, are basically neighbors. He got the go ahead. So, you know, Dozier didn't come here to not make the team.
Right.
The writing is on the wall. So, the outfield, Jay, let's move on to that.
Tommy Pham, where is Tommy Pham? Is this going to be another one of these guys that comes to San Diego and he gets whether it's the San Diego curse or whatever you want to call it, is he going to be one of those guys that comes here with this glittering resume and then it's like, oh, great, he's hurt, he can't play, he can't throw, he's lost it, all that kind of stuff. Where is Tommy Pham, Kevin?
I'm actually glad that you phrased it like that, that you went that far over the top, because
what else am I here for?
Right. Well, no, that's obviously the way that a lot of people are looking at it, and how could any of us blame them?
Right, right.
Described in one or many ways the way that players such as Tommy Pham been brought here, and it just hasn't worked out. Now, I don't know that very many of them were as talented as Tommy Pham. I don't know that very many of them were in what we would still consider the prime of their career, as
correct,
Tommy Pham appears to be. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that go, you know, that are different. And then we have to treat every situation different. And it's my job to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask in a way, you know, first point blank, and then be like, all right, look, you just need to know. I'm not going to leave you guys alone on this, if you can level with me here. This is what you're saying it is. And several people have said it was precaution, and that Tommy Pham, who had, you know, kind of a side soreness, right? Not even like a pulled muscle or something, the side soreness that was shut down for a few days, essentially, has been throwing. He started swinging, and he is going to serve as a designated hitter on Saturday. I believe that's, as we tape this on Friday, tomorrow against the Reds in Goodyear. So, look, there it is. So if he hits and he comes out of that well, then he's on track. Now, we still have the question. what about the throws? When are you going to play in left field?
I was just going to say, it's one thing to be able to hit if he was still playing in Tampa, and they'd be able to roll him out there regardless of his arm. But we still need to see him throw and be able to throw consistently on a day after day after day. I mean, not that sometimes there's he might go games where he doesn't have to make a lot of hard throws, but you know, he might go a week where he has to do that every three times a game, kind of
Well, so it has to be tested. Is your point. And they are hoping to do that latest by mid-March. And look, I've seen it with my eyes. He's out there throwing. He's out there throwing at 110 plus feet. That's not enough. That's and it's not full go yet. But it has been a half a dozen times, and that is what I'm told is the progression that he was supposed to be on. So by all appearances and by what people are saying, this is not anything to worry about. Now, again, I started by saying we all need to stay vigilant on it, because not just because of the history, but because of his his importance to the roster.
Oh, absolutely.
He had he had a partially torn UCLA.
There's a good slip there. Did you see the Bruins are in first place, Kevin? Have you noticed that?
Man, I gave you that window. And, the fact is he's super important to the team, and he was hurt last year. He spent the offseason basically idle while he was undergoing treatment. And, he hasn't shown us anything. So
that's
why there is a reason to have at least some concern, if not worry.
I would agree. Let's say for the moment that everything is going to be okay with Tommy Pham and he plays 145 games or whatever the target is for him in left field for the Padres. That leaves two other outfield positions. You wrote today about Trent Grisham, the new acquisition from Milwaukee. There's also, of course, Will Myers, because there's always Will Myers. There's Josh Naylor. Who else am I missing that would be involved in the Franchi Cordero, who you wrote about the other day, is also has to be in the mix if he can stay healthy. So is it those four for two spots?
Juan Lagares.
I can't see Lagares being a starter, but he certainly could be a valuable member. To me, he could be a little bit of a Travis Jankowski type, maybe the guy that can come in and play the outfield late in games and make a defensive play to save
a
game.
He's by far their best defensive outfielder.
Right.
I've not seen Tommy Pham play in person.
Where are we in center field and right field right now?
Trent Grisham is the presumptive starter, everyday player. Virtually every day. There's no such thing as everyday player anymore, but virtually everyday player in center field. And they would hope that Will Myers earns the bulk of playing time in right field. That leaves you, possibly, if you want to go with four outfielders, which I suspect they'll go with five, Naylor, Cordero, Lagares, let's just say. Crack is that they go Lagares, and then it's down to Naylor and Cordero.
Which seems like it's got to be, in that situation, from what we've seen in the past, you've got to, and again, we're talking months, weeks away from actually a decision, but it seems like Cordero is the guy that you would want on the roster at that point. He's shown, if he's healthy, he looks like he has more talent and is offering more to the team than Josh Naylor.
If he's healthy, a five-tool player who has learned how to become an actual major league hitter, yes, I'm agreeing with you.
Yes.
Josh Naylor, they love him. He is incredibly powerful. He might have a more refined approach at the plate than Franchi does at this point. Jace Tingler loves him. I can't rule Josh Naylor out. It's a race, Jay. It really is. But I will tell you, if you didn't read that story on Franchi, the things that people had to say about him, and they were things that I was able to ask these guys about because I knew it's how they really felt. It wasn't like, I go up and I ask a guy, hey, what do you think about Franchi Cordero? And they just lavish praise on him.
Right.
This is stuff that players talk about Franchi. Like, wow, what he has been in brief spurts and what he could be. So, no, you do not give up on Franchi. It is a matter of, do they think at that point, on opening day, does he look like the Franchi of, last opening day? And then 7 days later, he's on the injured list. Does he look like the Franchi of last opening day? How is Naylor doing? Because the fact is, look, Josh Naylor, the guy, I believe very strongly, more than most, I think, fans probably do because you haven't seen much of him. Josh Naylor has a bright future in the major leagues. I don't think it's as an outfielder.
Well, we could get into where he could play if a certain team hadn't made a certain decision a couple of years ago to sign a certain player to an 8-year contract for way too much money and way too long, but that's probably for another day where Josh Naylor could fit in.
I could launch into my defense of Eric Hosmer, which I would say that you have, you know, multiple valid points, but that I also can make a case for Eric Hosmer eventually being worth it for this team, but we don't have time for that now. I've got to get into the clubhouse.
And you could never make a case for him being worth this contract, but that's another story for another day. And
Millie, what it used to be, buddy.
And I don't want you to miss out on any of your any of your assignments that we're actually paying you for. So you can go ahead and wrap it up for this week.
Yep, Padres Cubs on Friday night and busy weekend and a fair. Let's looking forward to the next 8 days after that. The Padres are like home or no more than like 10 minutes from here. So I know that's what's most important to everybody else.
Of course.
How far do I have to drive?
That's right.
When I'm here. But I'm very excited about what is happening here in Peoria. So thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks.